Born at 24 weeks and weighing just over 1 pound, little Timmy Kelly's premature birth left him blind and with little chance of ever walking. Then, his parents found help and hope at a Shriners hospital.
Timmy's life would have been drastically different without the intervention of the Shriners.
At Shriners, Timmy underwent a series of complex surgeries.
It's not just the medical quality of care, it's the whole environment that has really makes it nice.
Shriners Hospitals offer some of the world's best orthopedic, spinal cord, and burn medical care to children, totally free of charge. And they combine that care with innovative teaching and progressive research programs.
Shriners create miracles, and we have one that lives with us, so we're very fortunate.
I can walk, and it's because of Shriners Hospital.
There's a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area. If you know a child they could help, call 1-800-237-5055 for more information. Shriners, having fun and helping kids.
Thank you for listening to the TalkStar Radio Network. For the finest and informative and interactive talk radio programming, it's the TalkStar Radio Network, available live via your local radio station and on the Internet at TalkStarRadio.com. Your feedback is important to us. Email us at TalkStarRadio.com.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good evening, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I remember well the summer of 2002. I was working at that time as legislative counsel in the House of Representatives. And a shocking event happened that made Americans most in an outrage. The Ninth Circuit of the Supreme Court declared that the Pledge of Allegiance, which had been amended in the 1950s to add the words under God, was unconstitutional, at least with respect to those words under God, and should not be required to be cited by school children in the public schools. Now, of course, the Supreme Court had already ruled earlier on that you can't require every student to actually say the Pledge of Allegiance. But the Pledge of Allegiance is still led in the majority of schools across the nation, and the most those that don't believe in God or have a different conception of God or believe in multiple gods can do is stay silent. Well, Congress was in an outrage. The Senate voted unanimously, 99-0. One senator was absent. It was Jesse Helms. I don't think he would have voted differently. 99-0, condemning the opinion. The House was almost as unanimous, 416-3 with 11 abstentions. Democrats and Republicans alike condemned this awful decision. When the Ninth Circuit let it stand, it went up to the United States Supreme Court, which ruled that the man who brought the suit, Michael Newdow, an atheist, didn't have standing to bring the suit. That's sort of a technical legal thing. Basically, he didn't have custody of his daughter on whose behalf he was suing, so the whole thing was moot. And now, in 2005, a district court has ruled yet again, under that Ninth Circuit standard, that you can't recite to a bunch of public school children that our nation is under God. Well, I support the Ninth Circuit decision. I'm going to go against, the great majority of my countrymen in saying that I believe the First Amendment doesn't allow the government to establish a religion. Now, I know I'm in the minority view here, and maybe I'm throwing my political career away by saying such a thing. I happen to think, frankly, the Pledge of Allegiance is fairly silly. I don't think most school children know what it means. I think we're the only Western nation that requires this kind of citation. And I think true patriotism and true love of God doesn't come from citing a meaningless phrase, but comes from wanting to be a patriot, wanting to be a religious person, not by just reciting in unison with everyone else. But defending the majority view is my guest today. Her name is Catherine DeBrecht. She is the author of a book entitled Help Mom, There Are Liberals Under My Bed, A Small Lesson in Conservatism. Catherine DeBrecht, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Thank you, Mark.
Catherine, tell me this. Do you love and revere the Pledge of Allegiance? I mean, are you shocked and horrified by the Ninth Circuit decision?
Well, I'm not shocked by the Ninth Circus, but I do revere the Pledge of Allegiance.
Tell me why. What about it is I mean,
well,
it's
a patriotic thing that we do. As a kid, I did every morning and stood up. It talks about, you know, basically when you say the pledge, you're pledging allegiance to your country. You're not saying you're under God. You're saying it's a nation under God, which is true in this country.
I seem to recall the First Amendment saying that the Congress shall not establish any religion.
Right, not establish a specific religion. The pledge doesn't say one nation under Catholicism or one nation under Buddhism or anything. It says one nation under God, which we have in this country a tradition of a deity.
Well, what if you're not a monotheist? What if you believe in multiple gods?
That's fine. You don't have to say the pledge.
Can you say one nation under gods? Any problem with that?
Well, if a kid, I suppose, wants to stand up while he's saying the Pledge of Allegiance and add an S to it, fine, but don't take the right, you know, you've got two kids in a classroom of 30, and you're going to say that 28 of them are not allowed to stand up and say the Pledge of Allegiance because two people's parents are, you know, want to feel special.
Well, how about if you got a Muslim kid, and when the other kids say God, he shouts out Allah? You have a problem with that?
No.
No? And another one shouts out Buddha?
No.
And another one shouts out, there is no God? You have no problem with that?
But let the majority of the kids in the majority of this country stand up and say the Pledge of Allegiance. I mean, it's just one more silly thing that you liberals want to do to feel powerful, that you have to feel offended by everything.
I think the Pledge of Allegiance is a silly thing and one more way to make students say really some pretty useless stuff. I mean,
I have a first grader, and I was just going through his social studies book. Now, granted, he's not in public schools, but his social studies book just, and you said that the pledge doesn't mean anything, it's a bunch of silly words. His social studies book talked about the flag, and it also talked about the Pledge of Allegiance. And its explanation of the Pledge of Allegiance was that we honor our country by standing up and saying the Pledge of Allegiance. What's offensive about that? Tell me.
Well, I think there's a couple problems with it. One is, I mean, the biggest problem, of course, is to say that we're a nation under God. To me, really, it's an attack on the whole, our founders, the whole separation of church and state upon which this country was founded, the idea that there is no religious test. And to me, to require school children to, in effect, give a prayer, let me ask you this. When it says under God, I mean, do you take that as, we're going to have to go to a break, so I'm going to have to ask you this, to answer this question after the break. But Catherine, after the break, I want you to tell me, when they use the phrase under God, does that mean specifically God, or is it just a meaningless phrase? Because I heard some conservatives say, you know, it's some inculcation. It doesn't really mean God. It's sort of a throwaway phrase. I take it seriously, and I got real problems when the government is telling us how to pray. But I'll hear from you when we get back. And if you want to call in, the toll-free number is 877-528-TALK. We'll be right back.
If you have more than $7,500 in credit card debt, listen to these shocking facts. Debt can ruin your life. A great number of all marriages end in divorce due to financial problems. Many American families are only a few paychecks away from bankruptcy. There are secret programs that credit card companies don't want you to know about that will eliminate your debt. If you are drowning in credit card debt, there is a way out. Debt Relief of America can negotiate directly with your creditors to eliminate up to 60% of your credit card debt. Learn how to avoid bankruptcy and get more cash in your pocket. Call Debt Relief of America for a free debt analysis by one of their debt relief specialists. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. Call 800-936-1264. 800-936-1264. For your free information, call now. 800-936-1264. 800-936-1264.
Do you sell dietary supplements? If so, you may know that the Food and Drug Administration and the Federal Trade Commission regulate your sales presentations. Violation of the federal rules can lead to stiff penalties. You really must know the law. Fortunately, help is just a phone call away. Law Talk Incorporated has produced a CD series, 4-CD interviews with renowned attorney Jonathan W. E. Mord, that explain the legal limits on sales presentations. The CD series guides you through FDA and FTC regulation, explaining the law that governs sales presentations, website content, and health claims, as well as global restrictions on supplement sales. This is a must-buy for network marketers and supplement companies alike. To obtain the CD series, call 1-888-RU-FREE-1. 1-888-RUFREE1. That's 1-888-783-7331. Call today.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. The Pledge of Allegiance has an interesting history. It was, of course, written by the socialist minister Francis Bellamy in the 1890s. And originally, in fact, it said, "I pledge allegiance to my flag and the republic for which it stands, one nation indivisible, with liberty and justice for all." Later on in the 20s, the words "of the United States of America" were added, so it was clear which flag you were pledging allegiance to. Bellamy wanted to include equality for all, but knowing that, blacks did not have equality, they were Jim Crow laws in the South, he knew that that wouldn't be agreed upon. Basically, the purpose of the Pledge of Allegiance was, right after the Civil War, to emphasize indivisible, that the nation could not be divided, and that's what people were pledging allegiance to. I know a lot of kids, particularly first graders, who think that word is invisible. The pledge, I think, when you have a rote pledge, really loses its meaning. Of course, the most controversial thing happened in the 1950s, the height of the Joe McCarthy era, when, to contrast the United States with the atheist Soviet Union, the words "under God" were added. And those are the words that the Ninth Circuit would take out. Defending the pledge as it is currently written is my guest, Catherine DeBrecht, the author of "Help, Mom, There Are Liberals Under My Bed, A Small Lesson in Conservatism." Catherine DeBrecht, I asked you before the break, you would agree that when it says "under God," it's not just some meaningless throwaway, that it's clearly an important line of the pledge, isn't it?
Well, it says that we are a nation under God. We have a, you know, tradition of a deity. We are a majority of Judeo-Christian society, and so, you know, it may mean nothing to you, fine. It means a lot to a lot of people. And, you know, as far as the Supreme Court said, you know, it's not a prayer, it's a part of a ceremony.
But you don't buy that, do you? I mean, it clearly is a prayer to mention God, right?
Well,
I mean,
money is a prayer because it has "in God we trust."
Well, yeah, and "in God we trust" is also an addition, obviously.
You're going to stretch it that far.
Well, no, our founders.
But I mean,
our founders.
The motto is "in God we trust." Is that a prayer?
Well, I mean, that was added again later on in U.S. history. What's interesting is the founders, as deists, were much stricter about the separation of church and state, apparently, than we are today. The Constitution has no reference to God on purpose, except to say there be no religious test for public office. Jefferson was very clear about the separation of church and state. I think we're going back from our founders' vision.
Actually, there is actually no mention of church and state in the Constitution either. And if you want to look at the Declaration of Independence, it says we are endowed by our Creator.
Right, right. And Jefferson actually very much wanted, but it's saying our Creator, to include as many as possible. But let me ask you this. It seems to me that if the purpose of the Pledge of Allegiance, at least certainly the purpose in the socialist minister Bellamy in writing it, was to say that we are a nation indivisible, that we are one nation, that we can't be divided again by the brutal Civil War, doesn't the idea of one kid saying God and another kid saying gods and another one saying Allah, another one saying there is no God, maybe another kid shouting Satan, this clearly divides us, doesn't it?
No, I think the whole thing with the pledge does. I mean, you know, if you want to say indivisible, don't you think that's something, one nation under God, indivisible? Don't you think that people will want to be united for our country? And if it says under God, like I said, it's a tradition of a deity.
But we don't all believe in the same God, do we?
We all believe in a God.
No, we don't. Not all Americans believe in God.
Less than 10% of the population, which are atheists. So if you want to let 10% of the population run whether or not somebody can stand up and say, "I pledge allegiance under God," in a classroom, then that's a really sad day.
But Catherine, I mean, if the majority rules, which is what you seem to be suggesting, I mean, I just think religion should stay out. I don't think the government should inculcate religion one at all. But if the majority rules, well, the majority, it's not 90%, but I'm sure it's 80% are Christian. Why not say Jesus? Why not put "under Jesus" in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Because there is a religious foundation, and with the founding fathers, it is a tradition of a deity. Like I tell you, it doesn't say one nation under Catholicism.
Well, I know, but here's my question, I guess. Is it a majority rule? You seem to focus on the fact that less than 10% of Americans are atheist, and therefore the majority should rule. My view is that the majority has no purpose whatsoever, that in our country, one of the things we came here for, that the founders and our forefathers came here for, was to escape government-enforced religion of any kind.
Right, and it's not really so much the majority rule. This is a tradition and heritage in our country. And if you talk about, you know, why it was done in the McCarthyism era and stuff, the Soviet Union, the Chinese and everything, all those countries, when they want to wipe out anything, any type of group, they're going to erase God and they're going to take that out and erase history. And that is not what this country is about. We have a tradition and a heritage of a deity in this country. And to just sit there and wipe it out is really sad. And it reminds me of the Soviet Union, the old Soviet Union and China.
Well, you say to wipe it out. Obviously, no one is forbidding anyone from praying to God in their own groups. It's the idea of a state writing a prayer.
You can't have the Ten Commandments in the courthouse, which I'm wondering which commandment they're offended by. Is it do not kill or do not steal? I'm not sure. But, I mean, you take them out of that. Now it's going to be the pledge. I'm sure somebody's going to be offended when they look at their dollar bill and see, in God we trust. That's going to be next. It's just going to keep going and going and going.
But what's the problem? Why do we feel a need? Why should a good religious person feel a need for the state of whatever, the state of Virginia, the state of Maryland, the federal government, to tell you how to pray? If you believe in God, shouldn't that belief be stronger than any state telling you? I mean, Jesus writes, you know, the New Testament, Matthew writes, you know, woe unto you hypocritical Pharisees that look, you know, that pray on the outside but within are full of dead men's bones. I mean, it seems to me that it's not about this sort of outward manifestation of religiosity, but what counts inside, isn't it?
Well, Mark, you're saying that the government should tell people how to pray. This is
what I'm saying. People should know.
This is three letters in the Pledge of Allegiance that does state a fact that we are a nation under God.
But we're
that
not.
That does not teach people how to pray. That does not do anything, you know, to say this is how you should pray and this is prayer. It's not. It's a tradition that we have in this country of a deity.
See,
and if you want a small minority to wipe out our tradition, I think that's sad.
Well, we got to take another break. But what strikes me, Catherine, is I think you want it both ways. You want to say it's three little letters, it has no meaning, and at the same time, it's this importance of prayer. I don't think you can have it both ways.
It's not prayer, Mark. It's a statement.
It's a statement. It's a statement that we're a nation under God. I don't know.
Right.
It sounds to me like a religious test. I'll get back to you, though. I promise, after the break. If you want to call in, it's 877-528-TALK. We'll be right back after this.
There are times and occasions when only roses will do. Roses247.com searches rose growers all over the world for the season's very best and most special roses at the most reasonable prices. For this week's greatest selection of fresh, beautifully cultivated roses, chosen to convey just exactly the sentiment you want to express, get online to www.roses247.com. We've done all the screening and shopping for you. It's fast, easy, and safe to order online, just as hundreds of thousands do all the time. So for birthdays, anniversaries, special remembrances, or just to say you are very much loved, type in roses247.com. We're open around the clock at roses247.com. Roses say it best.
Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom, one of the best shows television ever offered. Now you can travel again with Marlon Perkins to the farthest reaches of the globe and study wild animals in their natural habitats. The Emmy Award-winning Wild Kingdom, now available on DVD. Order online at RetroTelevision.com and get 20 full-length episodes for $29.99. You'll see gorillas, elephants, giraffes, zebras, hippos, and more. Also memorable, three episodes featuring legendary primate researcher Diana Fossey from Gorillas in the Mist. 20 episodes of Wild Kingdom on DVD for $29.99. Go to RetroTelevision.com, or if you forget, log on to www.TalkStarRadio.com and check out our video store.
Save $10 on Wild Kingdom now at RetroTelevision.com. From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Who takes the Pledge of Allegiance more seriously, those that defend its constitutionality or those that attack it? Most of the country, including conservatives, and I admit even most liberals, would say, like Catherine DeBrecht, my guest, it's just three little letters, it's just God, don't worry about it. But I and those that think that the pledge, or at least that part of it that says under God, is unconstitutional, I do take it seriously. I think God is meaningful. I think a deity is meaningful. And I think when the government is telling school children to worship God, I got a real problem with it. Kathy, you want to make a comment or should I go to the phones?
Now, real quick, the government is not telling school children that they should worship or establish a religion. They're saying that the Pledge of Allegiance pledges that the nation is one under God.
Who are they pledging allegiance to?
It's not forcing a religion on them. Look, the Supreme Court ruled in the past that ceremonial references to God.
Oh, I understand that. I understand that. I'm not arguing the law, Catherine. I know the Supreme Court has ruled as it's ruled, and I fully expect them to uphold the pledge. I'm arguing contrary. We're not arguing a legal argument here. I would lose that. I'm arguing a moral argument, but also one based on the Constitution. It seems to me that you are pledging allegiance. First of all, I think it's kind of weird that you pledge allegiance first to the flag and then kind of secondarily to the republic for which it stands. I mean, I think it's kind of a weirdly written thing. But who else? You're also pledging allegiance to one nation, indivisible. You don't think that was meant to tell the southern kids, you know, you're pledging allegiance that you can't separate again? And when they add the words, you are pledging allegiance to God. And I don't think the government...
You're not pledging allegiance to God. You're pledging allegiance to the flag. One nation under God. You're not saying I pledge allegiance to God.
You're pledging allegiance you're pledging allegiance to a nation under God. It weakens the pledge.
Under God, basically. I mean, we do have a Judeo-Christian basis, and which has done, you know, has been part of the formation.
You know, people say that. You can argue we have a Greek democratic basis. I mean, that we have an English basis. We have lots of bases for this country. We have, you know, an escape religious oppression basis. I mean, there are lots of things that make up this nation.
Well, Mark, would you say that in this country we are, you know, basically, you know, either a Judeo-Christian nation or a nation that has traditionally and has always been a nation of a God?
No.
That's not true?
No, I think we've been a nation of freedom of religion.
Through the years, even though it's on our money and everything else, this nation has been completely secular and nobody even talks about God?
I didn't say that either. I think we are a nation where you are free to worship God or not as you please. And that is the beauty and wonder of America, as far as I'm concerned.
Sure, we are a nation you choose to worship or not. But the basic traditions and heritage that have lasted for over 200 years in this country is one based on a Judeo-Christian basis.
So why is it that it's so recent that we had to add this to our money? I mean, the paper money's only been around since the 1950s. It has been on some coins.
But so has under God been in the pledge.
Well, since the 1950s.
Right. But
it seems to me, though, doesn't it demean God and demean this country to tell six-year-olds who don't even know what the word indivisible means that they have to pledge allegiance that the nation is under God? Shouldn't we teach them what God means and let them come to God on their own without requiring them to cite a silly pledge?
Well, first of all, they don't make if a kid doesn't want to stand up and say the pledge, I haven't seen a place where they've been made to in a school.
They were until the 1940s, but you're right. The Supreme Court has said since the 1940s they don't have to in some Jehovah's Witnesses cases.
Right, so they don't have to. But, I mean, can you imagine telling kids now, I mean, my kids, when they go to school that have said the Pledge of Allegiance every day, that, you know what, you're not allowed to say God anymore? I mean,
let kids say it. I mean, but it just seems to me that the nation.
Let kids say it. So what's the problem?
The problem is I don't want a teacher leading it. I don't want a teacher telling a kid, you have to say under God. Because to me.
There's not a teacher that's doing that. What they're doing is taking the whole pledge out and saying, you know what, too bad. Because it says under God.
Okay. We have to take another break. But when we come back, I want to know if you really believe what you said, which is that kids can sort of shout out their own religious conceptions when they get to that under God part, whether it's under Allah or why not under Jesus Christ or why not under Buddha or Wiccan or Satan or no God at all, and whether you think that shouting out would be good for our country. In my view, religion just shouldn't be in the schools at all. And I will get your calls. I know you're holding on. 877-528-TALK. We'll be right back after this.
This is Newsbreak. The acting director of FEMA says overall, Hurricane Rita did not do as much damage as feared. However, he notes some areas, such as Cameron Parish, Louisiana, were devastated, and recovery will take some time. In fact, the towns of Cameron, Creole, and Holly Beach, Louisiana, said to have been destroyed. The mayor of New Orleans is allowing residents to return to areas that did not flood. He warns, though, the city's water is undrinkable, and there is still a great deal of standing water. U.S. soldier Lindy England has been found guilty of abusing inmates at Iraq's Abu Ghraib prison. She faces up to 10 years in prison. Stocks gained some ground today. The Dow closed up 24 points at 10,444. NASDAQ climbed 5 to 2121, while the S&P 500 was up fractionally to 1215. President of Pakistan says if he had his way, Osama bin Laden will be captured in some other country. More news at usaradio.com.
You've heard it's all about the O. Well, what does that mean? It means you have one place to go for a luxurious lifestyle. Overstock.com offers the web's best deals on designer fashions, books, music, sporting goods, bedding, assisted living products, all up to 70% off, plus affordable vacation packages and an auction department with hard-to-find one-of-a-kind items. Live operators 24/7, and it's $2.95 shipping on every order. Simple, safe, and easy. Overstock.com.
John here. I'm running late. Construction at the tunnel.
The road to your business meeting is filled with obstacles.
Me again. I'm stuck on second. Yeah, nice parade.
Why not web conference with Microsoft Office Live Meeting and have productive meetings without leaving the office? Present to clients around the globe, collaborate in real time, even get instant feedback by taking a live poll. Try it free for 14 days at Microsoft.com/getlive. That's Microsoft.com/getlive or call 1-877-MEET-WEB today.
It's going to be a...
I'm Terry Graydon with our daily update from the People's Pharmacy on the TalkStar Radio Network. A bacterial infection that causes many stomach ulcers has now been linked to heart problems as well. Helicobacter pylori, a microbe that can live in the stomach lining, is far more common in people with an irregular heart rhythm called atrial fibrillation than in people with normal heartbeats. Italian researchers found evidence of the bug in 97% of the atrial fibrillation patients and only 5% of the controls.
Caffeine is notorious for raising blood pressure, but doctors have assumed that most people develop tolerance. Now scientists have found that some do not. Even after weeks of regular coffee drinking, these people still get a blood pressure spike from a jolt of Java. They used ambulatory blood pressure monitoring to see how people responded. The researchers advise that those with high blood pressure may want to cut back on caffeine and see if that helps.
This is Joe Graydon and the People's Pharmacy on the TalkStar Radio Network.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm discussing the Pledge of Allegiance today with my guest, Catherine DeBrecht. She's the author of Help Mom, There Are Liberals Under My Bed, A Small Lesson in Conservatism, which is a book for children. Right, Catherine?
Yes, it is. Oh, I say ages 1 to 92.
1 to 92. Well, let me ask you a hypothetical then, since you've written for children. Let's say you are a teacher of a second grade classroom, and you've got a class with 22 Christian kids and one Muslim little girl. And when you get to the Pledge of Allegiance, she shouts out, "Under Allah," every time. And... what would you do in that case, and what would you do if later on the kids started to beat her up for saying that?
First of all, if I was a teacher, I wouldn't let shouting in my classroom. If they want to sit there and say the pledge nicely like everybody else and say what they want, that's fine.
Yeah, but she can't be heard over 22 voices unless she shouts.
Why does she need to be heard?
Because she's saying something different from what the other 22 did.
If you're different, and is that the way the liberals work? Oh, I want to be different. I want to be special, so I'm going to make every, I mean, it's just,
well, I mean, it's very hard for a minority to be heard.
Over everybody else in the classroom?
Actually, I could understand her parents wanting her to, because it's if to show, you know, I don't believe in the government saying what religion our nation is, and so I'm shouting out my belief.
Religion, Mark, it says that we have a tradition of a deity. It doesn't say one nation under, I told you, Catholicism or Buddhism or Methodist or anything.
As you know, the Supreme Court has made it clear that the First, and maybe you disagree with this part, but that the First Amendment says not just neutrality among religions, but neutrality between religion and non-religion. And certainly the girl who's shouting out Allah doesn't feel that, God encompasses her beliefs. I guess my question is, whenever you talk about, well, you know, she has to sort of keep her voice down, you know, for, with everybody else, don't you see how this really is the tyranny of the majority? I mean, how would you feel being a Christian minority in a Muslim nation where they all have to pledge allegiance to Allah? I mean, I think you would defend that Christian's right to shout out the name, you know, their belief, wouldn't you?
They're pledging allegiance to a flag of one nation under a deity, under a god, and that's tradition in our country. If you want to talk about, you know, a child being a little shout out, well, you know, what if my kid, you know, during his social studies class, and they talk about how greedy businesses are in the public schools and environmentalism, and he screams out, "No, businesses are greedy." Is that okay?
Well, because that's different. That's interrupting.
He feels different because he's conservative, and we've got a bunch of liberals around.
Well, that's different. I think there's a difference between interrupting a teacher when a teacher's trying
exactly
to teach.
What you're doing in the pledge, you're interrupting the whole class.
No, but
scream that out.
That's because you're asking the class to make a pledge, to put their hand over their heart.
To believe that environmental junk science or anything else. I mean, you know.
Let me ask you this.
If this little girl doesn't want to say it, then sit down or stand up and say it. But there's no reason to just kick and scream about it.
Well, the question is, I think when you're a teacher and you're insisting that, you know, you're saying that children at the school should pledge. I mean, if you take it seriously.
That's not, Mark, you know that's not what they say. If people don't want to pledge allegiance, they don't have to. And if they want to say something quiet, but if I was a teacher, I wouldn't allow shouting among anything, whether they want their viewpoint or not, you know, do a little presentation on it. But don't sit there and disrupt the class and shout about it because you feel special.
The thing is that what they'd be disrupting is the government's inculcation of a specific religious belief. No, I have to say, I would actually very much support a child, particularly when the government is saying you must believe in a particular religious belief. I think they should shout out and say, you know what, in America, they could even shout, a nation where God is not required to be an American. Maybe shout that out. And I would very much support a student doing that. Let me go to a person we have on hold. We've got Gordon from Michigan. Gordon, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hi, Mark. I think I've got a metaphysical solution to your quandary.
Okay, let's hear it.
Well, it's about adding one little letter.
Okay.
All you have to do is add an O to God and say under good. Since the Bible says that God is exclusively good, that should cover that part of the action, and good is something that perhaps any atheist could...
Actually, Gordon, I'd have no problem with that, but I suspect Catherine would. Am I right, Catherine?
No, if kids want to be up there and say one nation under good, that's fine, but don't take the right of all these kids that have said the pledge for years to say that.
Catherine, what if a teacher wants to change the pledge in her classroom and change the words from under God to under good and ask all the kids to say under good? They could say under God if they want to, but she's going to write on the board and call the pledge under good. Would you be okay with that?
No, because you know what, Mark? You're going to open up a whole can of worms there, because then you're going to have teachers, you know, writing the pledge, you know, indivisible except for this and except for that, and this country doesn't stand for this, and maybe we'll just throw out the flag. That's opening up a can of worms. I mean, this is a tradition we've had for, you know, how long with the pledge, and I think that's just
50 years. I mean, it's not that long. Consider the pledge is older than the 50 years since we've had under God. Why shouldn't a teacher be free to say, you know what, I'm going to tell you why I think the pledge is wrong? And to say to the kids, I think you should not cite the pledge, because citing the pledge is an establishment of religion under the First Amendment, and you can say it if you want to, But I'm going to say that you should say under good and argue to those kids that under good is better than under God.
Okay.
Would you fire that teacher?
A real problem there with saying that the teacher should argue to the kids.
Why not?
And that's you know, in the public schools where the teacher's going to sit there and push her views on the kids.
But isn't that exactly what the pledge is? Isn't that exactly what it is, pushing the government's views on kids?
It's not establishing a religion. It is a tradition in this country. What, we should never teach about anything the founding fathers have written or anything?
They didn't write the pledge.
Or anything in history because it talks about God?
No, no. Why, we can teach history as history. But don't you see the difference between teaching history and requiring students to pledge allegiance, a loyalty oath? I mean, that's what it is. It's a loyalty oath. Isn't it?
To say the Pledge of Allegiance.
Well, I don't see why a teacher can't say to the kids, under good, because I don't believe in loyalty oaths. I think
wants to stand up and say under good, but let the rest of the kids stand up and say under God, which they have done for years.
Gordon, let me hear your views here.
Well, I've got a problem with non-citizens taking pledges. I mean, when I entered the military service, I entered with a pledge. Now you're making little kids who are not citizens take a pledge allegiance to the flag? I take offense to that. I mean, I think just citizens should be able to take that pledge if it's a sacred oath.
Children that are born in this country are automatically citizens of the United States.
That's true, but there's certainly kids in classrooms that are not citizens.
Well, they're not allowed to vote.
That's true.
That's because you have to be 18 years old.
There you go. They can be 18.
The problem, I think, with enforcing a loyalty oath, I mean, isn't that in essence what it is? Can you agree with me that a Pledge of Allegiance is a loyalty oath? It's requiring, okay, requiring is too strong. It is stating a loyalty oath and expecting children to join in. I mean, isn't that
for
what
their
it is?
Country?
Sure.
Oh, my gosh. And you say we on the left, you complain that we don't say you're patriotic?
No, but here's my problem. Here's my problem. When you give loyalty, not just to one nation, but to a nation under God, to me, you really are dividing the nation. We're no longer a nation indivisible. You are saying, I am loyal to the nation under God. But what about those that are loyal to the nation no matter what your religious belief? I actually think those are the higher patriots. If you want to write on the website, you're welcome to do so. The web address is www.radioinsidescoop.com. Feel free to call as well, 877-528-TALK. We'll be right back after this.
There are a lot of people out there making claims of miracle cures for this or that, but they're usually anonymous. Margie Garrison, who they call the Arthritis Lady, gives you her name and tells you her story. In July 1979, Margie was amazed when her doctor uttered the words, "Arthritis is the easiest disease there is to cure." What a difference from what she'd heard for 43 years, that there was no cure for arthritis. We don't have time here, but to learn the secret Margie learned, get to a computer and log on to healthstarproducts.com. It's guaranteed or your money back, and you have a full year to decide. Look it up for yourself online at healthstarproducts.com. HealthStar, H-E-A-L-T-H, healthstarproducts.com.
Do you sell dietary supplements? If so, you may know that the Food and Drug Administration and the Federal Trade Commission regulate your sales presentations. Violation of the federal rules can lead to stiff penalties. You really must know the law. Fortunately, help is just a phone call away. Law Talk Incorporated has produced a CD series, 4-CD interviews with renowned attorney Jonathan W. Emord that explain the legal limits on sales presentations. The CD series guides you through FDA and FTC regulation, explaining the law that governs sales presentations, website content, and health claims, as well as global restrictions on supplement sales. This is a must-buy for network marketers and supplement companies alike. To obtain the CD series, call 1-888-RU-FREE-1. 1-888-RU-FREE-1. That's 1-888-783-7331. Call today.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm discussing the Pledge of Allegiance with my guest, Catherine DeBrecht, author of Help Mom, There Are Liberals Under My Bed, A Small Lesson in Conservatism. Catherine, let me approach it this way. I've been approaching it sort of from the point of view of the non-believer. Let me approach it from the view of a believer. And I'll talk about one of my heroes in Congress, Chet Edwards. Well, he's no longer in Congress, but he's still one of my heroes, who one of the reasons he strongly believed in the separation of church and state is because as a strongly believing Southern Baptist, he didn't feel that he felt offended that the nation would tell him how to worship God. He felt that to believe in God, it has to come from the heart and the soul and your church, and it shouldn't come from your public school teacher. How do you address religious people who say, I don't want the government telling me to believe in God. It demeans my prayers to have it written by the government and have my child say it. I want to make my own prayers. How do you respond to people like that?
Well, I see very few on that side that believe that way. But still, again, Mark, you're missing the point here. It is not saying you have to believe in God. It's not saying you have to pick this religion. It is saying that we are a nation traditionally, heritage-wise, and everything under God.
What's the point of it? I mean, what's the point? I mean, we can argue over both the religious and irreligious strains in the government. I mean, clearly they're both in our history. I mean, there's no question about it. People escaped, you know, religious intolerance to come here, and then the Puritans, for example, established their own religious intolerance. There's both strains. Why is it important to divide the nation by mentioning only the religious strains?
I don't think we are dividing the nation. In fact, we've talked about indivisible in the pledge. And the majority of this country is a God-fearing country.
Yeah, but majority doesn't rule when it comes. I mean, here, let me ask you this. If the majority of religions, if the majority of Americans.
I have veto power over my child whether or not he's allowed to say the Pledge of Allegiance in this country, because that's exactly what the Ninth Circus ruled, that these two kids have veto power over the rest of the kids in that class to even say the Pledge of Allegiance.
Why can't they say it?
Which they could just keep their mouth shut and not say, or say, I don't, you know, whatever. But what you're saying is that these people have a veto power over everything that our country has had for traditions for over 200 years.
Why can't kids get together before class, after class, during lunchtime, not led by a teacher who's a creature of the state, and say the pledge? I don't think any, I don't know any liberal that'd be opposed to that.
No, actually, Mark, that was my point in the districts in California that are affected. I think parents should meet that are of the kids that aren't allowed to say the Pledge of Allegiance in school should meet every morning outside the school before they take their kids in and recite the Pledge of Allegiance.
You know what, Catherine?
With the phrase under God there.
This may surprise you, but I agree with you. I have absolutely no problem with people.
We agree on something, Mark.
We do. I have no problem with people as a voluntary association, not, you know, the school teacher telling kids this is what you're supposed to say. I have no problem with that at all. I think that's a good thing. I have no problem with, frankly, a prayer to any specific religion being held on public school grounds, as long as it's voluntary and as long as the state isn't writing it.
Okay, so isn't the pledge voluntary? I mean, people
it's
don't
not.
Have to say it. And then you're saying that, you know, first of all, that the pledge is a prayer, which it's not. But then you're saying you have no problem with a voluntary prayer in the class. What's the problem with a pledge of allegiance in the class?
The problem is that the school teacher is writing up on the board so the kids know what to say. One nation under God, and it's a specific phrase that the school teacher is required to say. You yourself have said you wouldn't want a school teacher deviating from that phrase, and the government is determining that, and I've got a real problem with our government telling people how to pray.
It's not telling people how to pray.
How can you mention God and it not be telling people how to pray? I mean, this isn't a history class where you say, you know, the idea of God has been throughout American history. I don't have a problem with that either. This is a loyalty oath. How can you say it's not a prayer?
It's a loyalty oath to your country.
Under God. Let me ask you this.
You're talking about that this nation is under God.
Obviously, there's some disagreement there.
I mean, like, you can go back to, like, the Soviet Union and China that want to just absolutely take out any sort of Christian or Judeo-Christian heritage just to wipe the people out.
No, but the difference is this.
Thing.
The difference was the Soviet Union and China abolished private prayer. They abolished voluntary prayer.
Well,
they closed
I'm
churches.
For that to come eventually down the road if they're so offended
no.
by saying the words under God.
Nobody wants it. Let me ask you this.
What's next, Mark?
I'm curious to know what's next with you. Where else would you have the government inculcate religion in our lives?
I didn't say the government needed to inculcate religion everywhere. I don't see a problem with the Ten Commandments be put anywhere. I don't see a problem with the nativity scene.
Well, let me ask about the Ten Commandments.
I don't see a problem with a menorah being put anywhere.
Well, let me ask about the Ten Commandments. Which version would you put in? The Jewish version, the Catholic version, or the Protestant version?
I just put the basic version in.
The basic version? Which one? Because, you know...
Are you offended by? Do not steal, do not kill?
I like the Jewish version. I happen to be Jewish, which begins with, I am the Lord thy God who brought thee out of the land of Egypt. That's the first commandment, and that was obviously the Jewish religion taught the Ten Commandments, you know, more than 1,000 years.
If they want to be put up, fine.
Well, but we're going to... Which one we put up? We're going to disagree about this.
That's
there are different versions.
What we put up at Christmas time. Are we going to put a menorah up? Are we going to put a nativity scene? Fine, put them up. I'm not offended by anything, you know, Buddhist or Jewish.
How about
or Christian.
Satanist?
Why can't we put something out there?
Let me ask you this. This is actually a post on my blog. I want to read to you. It's by someone who posts, "How might that be different?" And this is a quote from the blog. The poster writes, "If the majority of Americans were non-theists and came up with a pledge that said something like, 'One nation, free from gods, indivisible,' and they say, 'We're the majority,' should they have that right?" Let's say you have a majority in a local area that is Muslim or is non-theist, would you have any problem with them saying, "This is going to be our pledge for our town, and if you want to say God, you know, you can, but the majority is going to be taught this way"? Do you have any problem with that?
You can go to all different hypotheticals, but that's not an if, and what if this, and what if that. That's not our country. Our country
sure
has a tradition of a deity. You know, if somebody wants to go stand on the street corner and say, "No, I'm atheist," whatever, fine.
Why should minority... No, but
in this public school and not say the Pledge of Allegiance, fine.
But I thought you believed in local control.
About. And really, it's just a tradition of a deity. It's not anything to do with the establishment of a particular religion.
Okay, but this local town, all right, let's be a little different from the person who writes on the blog. Let's say the local town, and there are towns like that, that are majority Muslim or majority Jewish, majority Buddhist, and they want to put in a specific prayer. They want to say one nation under, and they want to give the specific religion that they have. And they vote on it. They vote on it, the city council. We're going to say under Allah. Would you have a problem with that?
Well, I think if they voted on it, but it would have to be a state or local issue. It wouldn't say we are one nation under whatnot. But like I said, kids can go into the schools, and if they don't want to say under God, if they want to say and not scream it out and disrupt the class under Allah, who cares?
Yeah, but would you have a problem with the teacher teaching under Allah? That's my question.
It's not the tradition in this country.
Well, who decides the tradition?
Know,
I mean, the tradition in this country...
If the teacher... No, let me tell you this. If you get that situation, Mark, and stuff, what would be really neat, and I think you would probably agree with me, is if we were in a classroom and you know, 28 out of the 30 students said one nation under God, and two little kids real quietly said one nation under Allah, and the teacher said, you know, "Now this is great. This is what our country's about. We have religious tolerance for everyone."
Well, I'll tell you this, Catherine.
That's a great lesson to teach.
We have to take a break.
No,
we have to take a break, Catherine.
Of you are out of here.
But I agree with
not
you.
Anymore.
It is a great lesson to teach, and I want to teach it. We'll be right back.
Tired of losing in the casinos and being in the hole? Learn how to win at Blackjack with Blackjack for Winners. Call 1-800-214-7012, 1-800-214-7012. This is the DVD the casinos do not want you to see. According to Tommy Hyland, a legendary blackjack professional, this DVD teaches an easy way to count cards and beat the casinos at their own game of blackjack. It takes only 3 easy steps. 1, basic strategy. 2, card counting. And 3, money management. It's just that easy to beat the casinos at their own game of blackjack. Order right now and you'll receive 2 instructional DVDs, 52 flashcards making basic strategy a snap, and a reference card you can take into the casinos with you. All of this for only $29.95 plus shipping and handling. Order today at 1-800-214-7012, 1-800-214-7012, 1-800-214-7012, 1-800-214-7012.
Ew, it stinks in here.
Passing gas. Brothers, passing gas is not only taboo, it can be deadly.
I'm gagging.
Passing gas releases a plume of toxic vapors like ammonia and hydrogen cyanide.
Oh, you're killing us over here.
Every year, hundreds of infants exposed to passed gas die.
What? I cracked a window?
And just opening a window isn't enough. These deadly fumes can linger in the room for hours after odors have dissipated.
Daddy, you promised you'd smoke outside.
You're right, Pumpkin. Excuse me.
If you smoke, take it outside. Don't pass gas. A message from the American Legacy Foundation and the Ad Council. Get the facts at don'tpassgas.org.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
We only have a few minutes left. I've been having, I think, a very interesting, very good discussion with my guest today, Catherine DeBrecht, author of Help Mom, There Are Liberals Under My Bed, A Small Lesson in Conservatism. Before the break, I talked about a local government changing the pledge because they belong to a different religion. And I guess I wanted to let my listeners, and if you don't know about this, Catherine, let you know that this isn't necessarily far-fetched. There was a town in Oregon that used to be called – you do know this. Let me tell my listeners. You know the story. There's a town in Oregon that used to be called Antelope, Oregon. And a teenage child, I think he was 13 at the time, declared himself to be the Messiah, called the Rajneesh Param. And he had a good thing going because apparently enough of his followers believed he was the Messiah that thousands of people moved into this town, formerly called Antelope, Oregon, and changed the name to Rajneesh Param, Oregon, to the evident horror of the former citizens of poor old Antelope. Now, I have a problem with naming a town a religious entity, not just because it happens to be a 13-year-old who declares himself the Messiah, but because I don't think that's what America's all about. I'm curious how you feel about it, Catherine.
Well, first of all, and I think they wound up losing the case, whatever.
No, the Rajneesh Params won.
The majority of people didn't have residency in that area or didn't establish residency.
I thought they changed the name, but I'll go check that. But the point still remains. I think that naming a town after a religious deity is suggests that everyone in that town has to worship that deity.
Well, we have what, Corpus Christi, Texas. We have
right.
Saint
Augustine, I know.
Florida. I guess people should be leaving in droves that are offended by living in St.
It's not so much the name of the town, but if they had a loyalty oath, but if they had a loyalty oath to the Rajneesh Param in the schools of this town in Oregon, I would think you'd be against it. I know I would be. But why? If the majority can determine
it. You're missing the thing. We're pledging to a nation under the tradition of a deity, under God. We're not pledging to a specific God, whereas this group tried to.
Well, I mean, you could say under one nation under the tradition of God, I guess, but it says one nation under God. I mean, if the children of Rajneesh Param are said to pledge allegiance to the city of Rajneesh Param and its leader, the Rajneesh Param, I don't know how you can argue that the majority's wrong there if that's what the majority wants.
I guess not. I mean, I...
Okay. Well, I think you can, because I think the First Amendment prohibits government from establishing whether it's the Rajneesh Param religion or religion in general. And I will agree with you, the Pledge of Allegiance isn't the most pressing threat to America today. But I also think that to be pure and to believe in religious intolerance, I love the idea, Catherine. This is where we can end with some agreement. I love the idea that you mentioned of a teacher allowing children to explain differing religious beliefs, minority religious beliefs. But to me, it'd be great if it were sort of a show and tell where people talk about their backgrounds. I think that's wonderful. I have a problem when you're having an oath.
Well, here's the thing. I think that would be wonderful, too. But I bet you anything that somebody's going to be upset if one kid brings in a Bible or anything Christian, and which is the big problem. But I'm a Catholic. I've been in Catholic schools all my life, and one of the most fascinating classes I ever had in Catholic school was world religions, and it was fascinating, and I enjoyed it tremendously.
Well, let's end on a little bit of agreement there. I think we should teach world religions without showing a preference for one or the other, but I think we should teach world religions in our classroom. It's certainly something, in order to understand history, you have to understand religions. Where I differ with you, Catherine DeBrecht, is when it comes to an oath. I just think we can worship God better, and every other Western nation, there's not a single one that has this oath. I think we respect religion more when we separate it from the state. But I want to thank you very much. for having this debate here on the Inside Scoop. I want to invite you back to debate other topics as well.
I'd love to, Mark. It's been a lot of fun.
Tomorrow I'm going to debate Jim Greenfield, a full two-hour show beginning on his show at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. The topic is race and poverty in the wake of Hurricane Katrina, problems and solutions. Join us then, will you? This is Mark Levine signing off.
Well, because Mother Nature wanted to match your pretty little eyes.
Nope, not even close. See, all colors have wavelengths that are diffused by oxygen and nitrogen. Since blue...